Hello everyone, welcome back to Final Score with The Score. The Score is not available today. It is myself stepping into his shoes after a pretty dire 0-0 draw against Everton. Pretty much against Chelsea's kryptonite. Old-fashioned football, high wins and no messing about. Something which Chelsea, I think, might struggle with in the future. And it might be proven to be a proven methodology to take Chelsea on. Of course, this is Final Score. So for everyone that is listening now, please do a request. We'd love to get your thoughts on the game yourselves. But not really much to report aside from a couple of nasty tackles, a couple of missed chances. Nicholas Jackson towards the end of the first half, maybe not taking a chance he could have done. And of course, towards the back end of the game, Everton actually peppering the Chelsea goal, with Chelsea maybe being quite fortunate in some ways to get away the way they did against a side which seems to just be a constant problem. It's not much else to report aside from that. So what we're going to talk about for the next hour, there are so many things we could possibly go through, but I am going to need your help to talk about the game. We've already got our first caller, so we'll bring him in. We've got Is Joe. I'll add you in now, mate. So come in and get involved in the conversation. Let's wait for him to come up now quickly. Hello, you're on Final Score with The Score. What do you want to talk about? Or don't talk, or mute yourself. Let me know. Going once, going twice, and he's gone. Okay, right, so it's just me on my own then. Great, good start then. Should we go through some of the stats, guys? Should we talk about that? Because we all know how much I love stats. And we love stats here at the Chelsea Echo. Not that it's killing the game at all. It's incredibly boring and, you know, doesn't just bring hell to everyone's eyes when it comes to football. But look, a 0-0 draw. And if I'm being very honest, if we're looking around the rest of the Premier League today, there's been some big defeats, to be fair. But the game which was on the telly was also a 0-0. So in fairness, whoever has Sky and paid for that package, they lost out. Because Leicester beat Wolves 3-0 and Manchester United fell to a 3-0 loss to Bournemouth at home. Oh, the wheels coming off already for Ruben Amorim. And is he going to be signing Victor Gyökeres and half of the sporting squad in January? We'll talk about that later on in the show. But in terms of Chelsea, well, the lineups went a little bit like this. Obviously, no Cucurella available, purely down to the fact that he was suspended after picking up a red card after the win against Brentford. Sanchez in goal, Malo Gusto, Levi Colwill, Tosin Adebayo and Axel Disasi made up the back four, with Caicedo and Fernandes in a double pivot behind Pedro Neto, Palmer, Sancho and Jackson leading the line. And if you want to go proper Brexit, we may as well talk about it, guys. You should see the Everton team. Branthwaite and Tarkowski at centre-back. Calvert-Lewin up front. Need I say anything else? But the Rambles, the man, the myth, the legend, he is here. So he's going to come and save me from having to listen to me for a whole hour, hopefully. Rambles, please stop talking. Please start talking. Apologies. I need some help here.
Yeah, frustrating afternoon, but I think in the grand scheme of things, we would have taken this at the start of the season, given where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, I think to be fair, I think that's the big takeaway from all this. And I was going to save it to the end because it's obviously a case of, you know, every cloud and such. But Chelsea, currently sitting second in the Premier League, heading into Christmas, obviously Boxing Day fixture against Fulham. You know, it's going to be good. I'm very happy with what's happened so far this season. But do you feel that maybe watching that game, this is an example for teams to look at if and say if you want to beat Chelsea or at least subdue them to some major extent, considering this is the first time that Chelsea haven't scored haven't scored in a game since the Manchester City fixture on the opening day. So, you know, is it a case of maybe there's a blueprint laid out here for teams to take Chelsea on and say, well, if you want to stop them from doing things, this is how you do it?
I think there's an element of that. And I think also maybe it's a bit of a wake-up call for us. Maybe we're not quite as good as we maybe thought we were. Not in a bad way. You know, we're still early doors in our process under Maresca. So maybe it's just a kind of huge wake-up call to everyone at the club that, yeah, maybe we do still need to bring in a couple of players in the coming windows. We maybe aren't as close to winning the Premier League as we maybe thought we were.
Do you think that people really think that, though? That we're close to winning the Premier League? Or do you feel, that maybe everyone's maybe getting far too ahead of themselves right now, if they do think that?
I think people are possibly thinking that more so because of what's going on at other clubs. Obviously, you've seen Saka with a potential quite a serious injury yesterday. You've seen Man City drop more points. You know, there's Liverpool, obviously, they're in the Carabao Cup semi-final. As Paul Merson said, you know, Chelsea are going to be the big winners of Liverpool and Arsenal playing two extra games. Liverpool's squad isn't the strongest. And a lot of people are going on about Chelsea having the best strength and depth, potentially. So this is where we can maybe gain the advantage over rival teams. So maybe this is just a bit of a just wake-up call to everyone. Hang on. Maybe we just need to lower the expectations a little bit.
So do you feel that realistically, I mean, we're definitely going to talk about the strength and depth, because there's a few things we definitely should be talking about in this team today in terms of selection. We obviously have a running joke on the show where we say, look, we aren't going to talk about the fact that Chelsea are potentially in a title race until March or April, four or five times to go. And even when if it does end with Chelsea winning the title, touch every piece of wood you can, everybody, you know, that, you know, we can sit there and still say, well, we're never in a title race. Do you genuinely feel then that Chelsea, based on our conversations over the past few weeks anyway, especially, that Chelsea are maybe moving in the direction to win the Premier League this year, win a trophy as well, aside from the Conference League, probably?
I think we could, but my concern is defensively. You know, we've seen today we've had to shift two players out of position. Mm-hmm. And if it was up to me, I would have rather have picked Achimpong or Vega, but then you're just moving one player out of position.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, that's definitely the thing we've got to talk about first. If you look at that back line, Malo Gusto at left back, Axel Disasi at right back, continuously looking extremely uncomfortable against Ndai. Axel Disasi, just a player that was constantly looking to take him on all the time. Malo Gusto, he's deputised enough at left back for me to feel less worried, but you would have thought Renato Vega, after the performances he's been having over the past few weeks, that he may be someone who, you know, was just going to be by default sliding into that left back position, right?
Yeah, I've really liked Vega whenever I've seen him play. I would have had no issues with him playing today. I think he's more than good enough. And if he isn't trusted in these games, then we have got to think, hang on, if Kukure is not playing, you don't trust Vega, we need to loan him out and bring in someone who can be trusted. Because I'm not a fan of these playing two or three players at a position because one player's missing. It just doesn't sit well with me. And it's not just Chelsea do. I see so many teams doing it and I just never understand it. I can understand one player at a position, but then when you're moving two, three, four players, I'm not a fan of it.
Do you think that maybe this is probably one of the first examples we've seen of maybe Enzo Maresca's over-tinkering backfiring against him?
I think so, definitely. But as I said, I think it's become quite a common thing now. I'm seeing other fans saying the same about their manager for playing midfield as a right-back and left-back and playing a left-back in central midfield. And I think sometimes managers try and be too clever, whereas sometimes you just need to just stick to the basics, just play the right players in the right positions when you've got injuries. Don't try and overthink things, overcomplicate things.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Well, listen, we'll talk more about that in a second. But we've got Martins here requesting, so we'll bring him in. Guys, please do request to come and talk in the space. We really do appreciate you guys all getting involved. This is your show. This is the call-in show. So please do get involved. Martins, you are currently on, mate. Take yourself off mute and let's hear what you've got to say.
All right. Thank you for letting me in. Okay, it was actually, should I call this one of the most quiet game I've seen under Maresca, actually. But I'm not going to blame, I'm not going to put so much expectations on the team, because we never expected to be at this level in this phase of this project, actually. But off the pitch, I'm gonna put some blame on the coach. Just like the last speaker said, he tried to overthink and over-rotate, actually. Because I mean, there was a lot of changes to the back line. Fine, I understand that. But on the pitch, I'm gonna put all the blame on Nicholas Jackson. it was a very bad game from Jackson. I mean, when you want to stake a claim that you should be the top nine for a club like Chelsea, then you should show it on the pitch. For crying out loud, the two chances Jackson missed today, it shows that he doesn't have the killer instinct of a top nine. People that watched top nine, top strikers like Ruud van Nistelrooy, Filippo Inzaghi, will know that today, if an Inzaghi or a Nistelrooy was on that pitch, they would have scored at least two goals. Jackson missed those goals.
Okay, and when you're playing a team like... Can I just cut you off? You do say that he doesn't have that killer instinct, but if you look at the numbers he's putting out for a player so young as well, surely he can grow into that.
I understand. I understand. But what happens is that whenever we want to bring up the fact that Chelsea needs a top nine, an established top nine, you know, we always see this, we always see Jackson's body language try to like, oppose it. I understand everybody wants to show off and show their capabilities, but I still agree that Chelsea needs a top nine that we all know that is a striker. I see Jackson in the position of a Salomon Kalou. He's not a top nine, but he can fill in that position when needed. And
Martin, one thing I would say, you mentioned Nistelrooy and Filippo Inzaghi. Now, I mean, sadly, there's just not that level of strike around nowadays. I mean, if they were in their prime in the current era, they'd probably be by far and away the best two strikers in world football. Exactly, we just don't have that caliber of strike around nowadays.
Mm. I understand. We've been linked to some top nines recently. I know Osimhen and Gyökeres, but there's been a little hesitation from Chelsea because we want to see how much Jackson can develop. But like I said, that instinct is not yet there. And if we say we want to compete, we need that instinct in our top nine, in our top striker, and it's not yet there. So it's either just like Maresca keeps saying, we are not in the title race, we are not competing. It's either we agree we're not competing, because definitely Jackson is going to need another 2-3 years to get to that level. So is either we're sticking to Jackson and we are not competing for another 2-3 years for him to develop and hone his skills as a top nine, or we go out and get a top nine who Jackson will learn from. Osimhen is there.
But Osimhen didn't want to come to Chelsea in the summer, so what's the difference?
It's about negotiations. If you negotiate right, you'll get him.
This is what I mean, Martins. Chelsea negotiated the price. Chelsea did everything they could over the summer within the structure that they have. Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
They did everything they could in the structure they have to get the player in the summer. The player didn't want to come to Chelsea. Victor Osimhen does not want to come to Chelsea because he wants to get paid ridiculous money and he doesn't want to fit within the structure at the club. If he was wasting everyone's time over the summer, which, by the way, he could have put pen to paper on that deal right at the end. If you were Chelsea Football Club, after all the work you've done over the summer, why the hell would you go back in for somebody who clearly doesn't want to be part of the project? Because that was the whole thing. The whole mentality of the club is, if you don't want to be here, we don't want you. Why would you put so much money into somebody who clearly is looking to upset the apple cart, who showed that realistically he doesn't really care?
Lewis, what is halting Salah's contract with Liverpool?
Salah's a completely different kettle of fish.
No. Osimhen, before Ademola Lookman won the African Best Player, it was Osimhen was the one holding that award, and he was on fire that very year. So he has all the negotiating rights to say, I want this. Nobody, even you,
a lesser salary.
Another organization. So if you know you're good, you have the negotiating power. That's business, and that's how it works. So if Chelsea wants
to compete and they want Osimhen, then they need to sit on the negotiating table. You're not going to tell a caliber of a striker at, in Osimhen's position to take a 150k weekly wage, and you expect him to take that? Nobody.
One thing I will say, I think football fans are quite often guilty of undervaluing the player they do have, and maybe putting too much stock in the player they don't have.
Don't get me wrong.
Because Jackson's proven in this league, you know, he's a very, very good striker. Yes, you know, we could potentially get someone better, but there's no guarantee Jokeres or Osimhen are going to come in and do much better. I mean, I know I did, and I'm sure other people thought Lukaku was going to be the answer, but he came in, and for various reasons, he struggled in the Chelsea shirt, and many people thought he was the guy who was going to potentially lead us to the title. So there's no guarantee Jokeres or Osimhen, just because they scored goals in other leagues, will come to the Premier League and adapt straight away and score the goals we potentially hope or think they will do.
And just to reinforce that, by the way, I mean, look, I'm more on the Victor Jokeres train than I am on the Victor Osimhen one, because I don't want to spend money on somebody who clearly didn't want to be here. It's a waste of everyone's time, you know, and that's the big thing which I'm trying to say. But if you talk about undervaluing the player, Nicholas Jackson, this is strictly Premier League, by the way, because we're talking about the league form right now, okay? 9 goals, 3 assists in 15 games, 0.68 goals per 90, 132 minutes per goal, 41 total shots, a goal conversion rate of 22% and 54% shot accuracy. Okay, he has a better accuracy than Cole Palmer. He has a better accuracy than Erling Haaland. He has a better accuracy than so many other players. This Ollie Watkins is another example who has a better accuracy than. You know, there are players on this list which people are saying, we should go out and get. These are people that really make a difference. These people are great. And he has a better accuracy and a better involvement in the team than they do. I agree that Nicholas Jackson over the past couple of games has been a bit cold. But one thing I also do think that football fans are very guilty of, including myself on some occasions, including Rambles, now everyone involved who watches football has done this, right? Sometimes you flip-flop a little bit. You get too emotional. You don't look at it and go, and straight away, it's a split decision. Nicholas Jackson, I agree, right? In the summer, I was looking at it and going, I'd love to have an older striker come in. You'd want someone that quality. There was one player out there which I wanted Ivan Toney. I thought he'd be a fantastic fit. Straight away, there's another example of a player who has gone to get money. Fair play to him. He can do it. It's his life. If he wants to earn more money rather than play a better level of football, so be it. But there was somebody who went and did that. Victor Osimhen did not want to come to Chelsea. You can talk about being the contract, but there was several contracts tabled in front of him. Fees were agreed with him, by the way, as well. It wasn't like they didn't just disagree on a contract clause and the basic fee. They put basic fees on the table for him. They agreed, but there was someone else that needed tweaking. Then there was someone else that needed tweaking. Then there was someone else that needed tweaking. They're now hell out of this, so we want you to do this. And that straight away, mate, if someone's umming and ahhing so much, it's a complete waste of time. And it's something which, realistically, you're not going to get done in a January window either. And he's probably not going to leave Galatasaray in January. I really can't see it happening.
One thing I will say about Jackson is Jackson's only 23 years old. And I think, you know, if we look at some of the Premier League's best players, you know, in recent eras, you look at Drogba, you look at Salah, you look at other players like Vardy. Jackson at 23 is probably much further ahead than they were. So he's still got a lot of time to grow into that more clinical striker we all want. And we can see he's improving. He's much better than he was this time last season.
Sure, definitely. Jackson is improving. No doubt. I'm not doubting that. But I'm only saying, if we want to win, then we need to be, if we want to stick to him as our top nine, then we need to wait for another 2 years to get him hone his skills and become the striker that we need to win with. Secondly, I, just like, someone said earlier, Maresca also overplayed it here, because for me, there are some players that would have come in to try their luck and put in some effort. When you look at, Farmer wasn't really in this game. We had Joao Felix on the bench. We had Magui, who's coming off from a hat trick over the midweek. I mean, someone like Magui would have been putting more effort than having Nkunku top nine against a defensive team like Everton.
You understand me? For me, I would have just taken the risk and put in my agree. And I tell you, with his confidence and level, he will definitely give something in the last 20 to 25 minutes than having Nkunku in top nine. So, but it's all okay. We are progressing well. It's fine. The team is where nobody expected them to be, but they'll definitely do well in the next game. And mind you, this really shows how much Marco Cucurella means to this team. Definitely, he was truly missed. That's all I have to say.
Martins, appreciate you coming up, mate. Really, really interesting conversation there. Guys, if you want to come get involved, obviously, please make your request. I see there are two requests. There was a third one a moment ago as well. And obviously, we'll get you guys all involved in a minute. I do want to talk a little bit about Marco Correa first before we bring up the next speaker, though, Rambles. He's really earned his stripes over the past 12 months, hasn't he?
He has, and I think you appreciate a player a lot more when they're not available, because you see more how important they are to the team and how much the team kind of has to reshuffle in their absence.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane to see the amount of reshuffles. He's somebody who, I think, especially with how his Chelsea career started, he's now really starting to show what his value is. And it was extremely impressive to see how far he's come over the past 12 months. And like you said, when you miss a player like that, it says a lot. And I think, he's definitely become one of the top fullbacks in Europe. But we wax lyrical about him every week. And it's something which I think, I'm sure everyone else here is going to have something to say. So we're going to bring up the next speaker quickly. So Vince, up you come, mate. Come get involved in Final Score. It is not with the score. It's with Lou Benavente and it's with Chelsea Rambles today. And it is now also with Vince. Vince, what do you want to talk about, mate?
I think that people just shouldn't overreact to the result today. It's always tough going into Goodison. And, obviously it wasn't the best performance from some of our players. I thought Enzo was a little bit off of it today. Palmer didn't have his best game. Madueke, when he came on, didn't really affect the game much. Jackson, as the last speaker was talking about, also didn't convert a couple chances, but it's going to happen. I mean, they're a physical team. They're at home. We have a couple easy games coming up, and I just don't think people should overreact to a point here. I actually think it's a positive result because we very easily could have conceded if Tosin didn't make that big tackle, and also Sanchez had a couple big saves as well. So I'm overall pleased. I thought Caicedo was phenomenal today. Like, he might be the best center midfielder in the Premier League right now. Like, he was incredible today. And yeah, I mean, overall, we were definitely missing that final punch that was just like tough to break. But overall, I thought it was a good performance. I'll take the point. It's a little disappointing, but away at Everton, I'll never complain about a point. And on the Nicholas Jackson thing, I mean, I think it's crazy to take one performance where he's a little bit off of it or a couple games and say that he's not our striker of the future. We've made this mistake so many times, just not giving a guy a run of games. You have to give him a run of games, and he should be the striker every game in, game out for the pretty much rest of the Premier League season, unless his form completely falls off, because he's the guy that we got to build around up top. And I don't think we should go after Gyökeres or Osimhen, because that'll just take his minutes away and take away his confidence. And look, he missed that one chance where Palmer put it in his path today, but he was pretty much the only one looking to make runs over the top. Like, I didn't really see Sancho making any runs. Neto, I didn't really see making runs either, but so at least he was trying to get into the box. It wasn't his best performance, but I still think we got to stay behind him as Chelsea fans.
Do you think that, what do you think comes down with is maybe slight downwards turn in form? Do you think that there's maybe things at play? Do you think maybe the system isn't catering to him as much? Do you think maybe he's maybe lost his edge a little bit? Was it a purple patch? Like, I agree with you. I think he's the guy with Chelsea have got to build around. I can't see anyone out there at the minute which I really think would come in and hit the ground running straight away and guarantee the returns he's given the team. And I don't just mean in terms of goals. I mean in terms of his link-up play, in terms of everything. What do you think maybe is the reason behind him maybe not being as aggressively good, we'll say, as he has been in the past?
Well, I would say, I mean, he did score the winning goal at, against Brentford. I mean, that finish was a quality finish. So I don't actually think it is an extended run of poor form. I think we're talking about one game here. I mean, last against Brentford, that finish was a world-class finish. I mean, on his right foot, puts it in a spot where no keeper in the world is going to save it. So I think we're talking about one game. And look, Tarkowski, he's a veteran Premier League center back. Jared Branthwaite is a guy who's probably going to go to a bigger club in the summer. Vitaly Mikhailenko is a bulldog. You know, he's at you and at you and at you and at you the whole game. So I don't think it's an extended run of form. I don't think there's something to be worried about. And if we're looking for an explanation of it, it's probably that we're just away at Everton in a windy, rainy, cruddy, temperature and just, you know, poor environment to play football. I don't think it's something that we have to stress out about at all.
I came up with you, Vince. You knock him down. Thank you very much for that, mate.
I was going to say I've got a slightly different take on the Jackson situation.
Oh, please do tell.
I think we are lacking from that alternative striker, someone we can just rotate with Jackson more. I think Jackson will benefit from there being a bit less pressure on him. And I think it's also good having a striker he can just maybe learn from. You know, just like someone who offers a bit different, maybe someone who's a bit more physical, a bit better in the air.
See, the guy that entices
me, names.
The guy that entices me, and it stings a little bit watching him now, is Duran on Aston Villa. I mean, he is an incredible striker. He's a goal machine. He's physical. He's strong, and it seems like we were really in deep talks for him. But for some reason, that fell through. But he's a guy, and he's still young. I think he's only 21, actually, he's a guy that I would break the bank for and actually want to compete with Jackson. But unless you think you're getting a truly world-class player, I wouldn't want to sign anybody.
Absolutely right.
The one player I really like is Benjamin Sesko, because I just think he's got everything. And I think he's got so much potential. But I did hear a story the other day, I don't know how much truth there is, that Ivan Toney's move to Saudi hasn't really gone that well, and he could potentially be available.
See, that doesn't entice me. That doesn't entice me at all.
But massively so.
Are you in a big game? Are you ever starting Ivan Toney over Nicholas Jackson in a big match, in a big derby? No.
It's 6-1, half a dozen of the other for me. I mean, I think about it. It's something you have to think about. I think Ivan Toney, we're talking about people offer something different. I think Nicholas Jackson's very mobile. He's got a physicality to him, but I think it's not like a traditional number nine. That's what you look at Mark Guy for, right? And I look at Ivan Toney as somebody who's been around the block, played every step of the English football pyramid, proven goal scorer in the Premier League, somebody who's a senior player who wants to set examples and do things really well, and might even be somebody who, you know, we can stick an Acker on, he might score a few goals for us, and, you know, we can still win some money together. You know, everyone wants some of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that would be something I'd think about. The price would have to be right. But I think, you know, he'd be somebody who I think really would come in and help Chelsea. But I do agree with you, by the way. We're talking about other strikers, like Nicholas Jackson's not on a downward turn. He's not. It's one poor game. So, you know, I think it's a case of that we have to look at other things as well, realistically.
And, I mean, this is something that hasn't been talked about at all, because I think the few times we have seen it, it hasn't gone that well, but I wouldn't completely give up on João Felix as a false nine, second striker, or maybe even just a traditional nine where, you know, he plays up front sometimes, because I'm talking even before he moved to Atletico, like back in like 2019 when he was in the Portuguese league, he was scoring like 15-20 goals as a true number nine as a striker, and that was 5 years ago now, and he hasn't really shown that. But if we're just looking for a different option, you know, a little bit more of a creative option that's going to drop deeper, you know, Jackson's a guy that's looking to run beyond a defender, you know, maybe get a ball over the top, really stretch the lines. But if we're looking for a guy that's going to drop deeper, maybe that would have been helpful today, because we weren't getting beyond the Everton defense. So maybe a guy that would have dropped deep and tried to create something from that number nine position would have been helpful. But I think Maresca likes to put Felix out wider rather than in the middle.
I Felix just is not, he's not just doing it for me currently. But again, you know, remain open-minded. That's what I have to say about that. But Vince, thanks for coming up, man. I really, really appreciate it. Always good chat with you, mate. Guys, obviously, if you do want to come up now, make sure you do request. We've got two guys waiting already. Frank's been here waiting ages, so I better get him up now straight away so he can add to the conversation. Temi, I saw you waving earlier. Don't worry, we will get you up. But Frank was first, so I'm just going to wait for him to come up. And guys, if you do want to get involved, please do make sure you request. Frank, you're in, mate. Get yourself off that mute. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for the opportunity. I believe that, you know, just going back, I know you guys talked about it a lot, but about Jackson, one point that people are missing is he keeps improving, right? From last season to this season, the question is, what do we do? Do we, like, is he going through a bad form? Is he, you know, do we need to sign another striker? I think that he's answering that question already. He's improving. So just keep him, you know, just keep trusting him. And I think he's going to get there. Yeah, he missed two golden chances, in my opinion, today. That's what I believe when Maresca comes and say that we're not ready for a title charge. He's not joking. He's not trying just to take the pressure off. I think he's being genuine. It's because these kind of situation, but I'm not going to blame Jackson on that. It's just, it is like someone else said it. It's Everton at Everton, bad weather. And got to give credit to Everton. They defended well. They played well. They had their chances. So I think there was really a stalemate. It was a really good match to watch, but it, you know, it is what it is. But I believe, overall, what people are also missing is you got to look behind you, right? This is the season. This is like the part of the season where it's going to be like, if you keep getting the habit of dropping the points, you're going to see yourself getting down in that table. Chelsea's only 4 points ahead of Forest as things stands right now, and Forest are in fourth place. So, and instead of, I hope the players are aware of that this is the, you know, the Boxing Day is coming up, Fulham. They're playing well recently. So I believe the overall, I'm really pleased. I don't, like someone else also said, I don't mind a point at Everton. It's always a tough place, especially for Chelsea. They played well. Team tried. Yeah, Palmer had a bad game. Sancho had a bad game. Jackson had an okay game. But it is what it is. You know, like, that's, you're not going to get a superstar Palmer all season long. You're going to have games where he's going to, like, not perform. So it's okay. People need not to panic, need not to keep saying we should have signed that or that. It's just the team is doing okay. I believe that they are our like, they should be competing for the top four. That's what I believe the team is at. I don't believe they are ready for a title charge. I believe Liverpool, I will be surprised if Liverpool doesn't win that title because everything is open up for them. They have the experience. The City is down. Arsenal is just Arsenal. So, yeah, I'm not going to panic. I believe that we're in a good place. You know, yeah, mistakes were happening today. Maresca did, you know, some mistakes by not bringing in, by not taking out Sancho and probably moving Nato on the left or maybe even trying with Felix. But it is what it is, man. The manager will have his bad day. Superstars will have their bad day. But at the end of the day, I think that Chelsea is in a great position. I believe that it's really important right now to concentrate on the fixtures that are coming up. It's going to be busy. Yes, I hope they don't make the habit of dropping points. That's all I got, guys. Thank you.
Really appreciate you coming up, Frank. Thank you. It's been a thing. I don't know if this is the first time you've ever spoken here, man, but it was really good. So please do come back. Would love to have you come and speak more often. But yeah, it's really good points there. I think, you know, one thing we do need to talk about here is that people do get ahead of themselves a little bit. And like I said, you know, it's not like, I've never done it before. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's something which I've never done because that'd be ridiculous. Rambles, I'm sure, is the same, but you know, it was a tough place to go today, Rambles, wasn't it? With such a difficult run of fixtures, which Chelsea have played up at Goodison.
Yeah, Goodison Park is a ground we've notoriously struggled at. And I think if you look at recent weeks, we've overcome other games where we've struggled at. You know, Brentford at home was a bit of a bogey game for us, and Wolves away was another stadium, you know, we've struggled at, and their games we've overcome. And I think this is just part and parcel of the process. We are going to have these games, these frustrating afternoons, because we are a very young squad, and this is part of the learning process. And I think it's also part of the learning process for Maresca. I think he possibly I haven't said that this season, but I think he made one or two mistakes today, and this will be a learning experience for him. Next time we do have, let's say, Cucurella out, you might not do the same things he did today.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think straight away when I saw the lineup, the disclusion of Renato Vega in the starting 11 was really interesting. I don't know whether it was a case of just completely overdoing it, because, you know, Renato Vega looked absolutely fine after Shamrock Rovers game. So I'll be intrigued to see what he says about it in his press conference, because that will be coming shortly. All those quotes, and hopefully we can get them whilst we're still live. But if you do miss them, guys, make sure you listen to the voice note review, of course, if you're in here. That will be available on the Chelsea Echo on all good podcasts and platforms. You can find the links to it on our social media channels, specifically right now, because you're listening on X Spaces, on X, formerly known as Twitter. That is all available over there. But, Temi, we see you now. You've been waiting a while. Come on in, mate. We'll let you in. Let's see what you've got to say. And, guys, if you do want to request, please do. Let's talk all things Chelsea. We've got a little bit of time left to go through bits and bobs. We'd love to hear all your opinions. Mark, I see you in there. I want to hear the voice from Swansea. What have you got for me, mate? Let's see what everyone else has got I want to talk about. Right, Temi, take yourself off mute, mate. What do you want to talk about?
Hi, Louis. I just wanted to talk about Maresca today. I felt he played it a little too safe.
Okay.
It's not a bad thing. I just felt like we had close to 80% of the possession, and I felt we could have been more attacking. Obviously, it didn't click as well for Palmer today. I felt, you know, there's some decisions that, you know, you just have to make in a game like this. You know, just I would have wanted to see Nkunku link up with Jackson rather than it be Jackson or Nkunku or Felix linking up with Jackson. I just wanted Palmer to... I feel like some days are not just players' days. Like, people have off days. Today was probably just his off day, and, you know, someone, you know, that... Just generally someone who would, you know, just come in and have a new perspective of the game and just perhaps try change things was what we needed. I also felt like the subs came way too late. I could see from like before the 60th minute that Palmer wasn't in this game. I could sense that, obviously, I'm not saying remove Palmer that early because, you know, it's Palmer. He could just have one moment of brilliance, and that changes the whole game. We could see after Jackson missed that second chance, I just knew it wasn't going to happen. You know, obviously some people would say, oh, he also missed chances against, what's it called now? Against Brentford, and he finally scored. But I just feel like if we want to win the title, obviously, I'm just trying to make it clear, I am very happy with the top four. I'm not saying we have to win it, but I'm saying if we want to win it, we need to be a bit more, Maresca needs to be a bit more ruthless with the way he makes decisions, in terms of trying to, you know, get subs, like, you know, change things quickly and, you know, be more reactive towards the game rather than, you know, letting things play out and then see how things end. We all know how Sean Dyche plays his football. He loves to sit 10 men back. You know, we had 80% possession. He just wants you to have the ball, and he defends till the end. So, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have minded to see, you know, Jackson and Nkunku together playing off each other, maybe to kind of stretch their back line a bit more since Palmer wasn't giving those final balls. Maybe just ask, what's his name, Gusto, and perhaps maybe bring on Vega as well and ask them to just, you know, spam crosses into the box and, you know, having two men, you know, chasing those balls and maybe having your wingers as well inverting into the box. That might have given us something different, because I just felt like playing Palmer in the 10 and trying to root those final balls and trying to dance around the box to look for an opening and play it wasn't just working. So yeah, I just feel like we're going to have more games like this where teams just come in, or we go to them, or they come to Stamford Bridge and they just want a point. They don't care about winning. They don't want to lose. They don't care about winning. And they're just there to frustrate us. And I feel like games like this is what makes you win the league. So yeah, I just feel like we need to adapt our formation more and play more boring football. You know, maybe if we had both strikers up front and we just kept spamming crosses, a little minute of luck or little moment, you know, could have just made us win this game. So yeah, I just want, hopefully, just pray that we, Maresca learns from this and, you know, kind of tweaks things up next time we encounter games like this.
Well, I appreciate you coming out, Tammy. That was some interesting points there. We've got some stuff to build on from that. So guys, if you do want to request, come up. Building on what Tammy was saying in terms of, you know, Cole Palmer not really getting into the game as much, Enzo Maresca has actually, the press conference quotes have come out. This is from Bobby Vincent from Football London. And he was saying, and he's asked Maresca on what they could have done differently. Maresca replies with, "I said we knew already. It was a tough game to create chances. In general, you struggle to create chances against them. There was not enough space for Cole. Overall, in this kind of game, you have to be clinical," which I think is very fair. I like, you know, Tammy was talking about how there was a real distinct lack of space and Chelsea being unable to break them down and maybe looking for something different. I love the idea of spamming crosses to two big men in the box, but I think, unfortunately, for Enzo Maresca and for a lot of people that are watching Chelsea and are within the club at the minute, I don't think that's sexy enough and is too similar to Sean Dyche. And I do think it's a case of also, you know, I respect that, you know, realistically, that's not the route they're going down now. And I think the fact that he stuck to his guns, I don't know, Rambles, challenge me if you disagree. You know, I think that the fact that Enzo Maresca is not basically, I think the best analogy I can say is we've gone from, we're obviously looking to do this free-flowing passing football against a team which kicks a lump out of people, lumps out of people. You know, the fact that we've not sunk to the level to just start kicking lumps out of people, to try and get the result. And, oh, by the way, guys, we are still unbeaten in 12 now, by the way, as well. I think it's admirable that he's sticking to his guns and how he wants to play his football.
Yeah, he's got a style of play. He's got a plan of action and he won't deviate from that. And I think that's something you see in the young managers nowadays. They don't want to move away from their ideal style of play. Whereas back in the day, you would see maybe managers adapt more to your position. But now you're seeing managers, this is how I'm going to do things. I'm going to do things regardless of opposition. And this is how we're going to move forward. And I think in the end, we will benefit from it in the end.
I would say he is malleable, though. You know, as much as I say it's admirable that he has his own game plan, he does have two or three, which he tries to exercise. He's not Ange Postecoglou, who has, this is how we play, that's it, are you not entertained when we nearly bottle a 3-0 lead? Like, that's definitely not the case with him. So, you know, that's why, you know, the fact Enzo Maresca is trying to lay everything out and sort of develop things his way and still trying to be adaptable as well, you know, fair play to him. It's a big result, and, you know, he keeps saying that he's happy with it as well. It's just come out as well on Fabrizio Romano's account as well, saying the similar things. So, we'll keep up to date with those quotes for you guys, and we'll go through that. But Mart is requesting, so we're going to get our answer to Gavin and Stacey up on the stage. I think that's the most important thing that we got to do right now, because I want to hear what Mart has to say, and also where he's going to be watching the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special on Christmas Day. Mart, should you hear those questions? Quick one. Where are you watching the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special, or are you even watching it on Christmas? And secondly, where the hell have you been?
Oh, evening, afternoon, chaps.
Hello, buddy.
All right, yeah. I don't know about Christmas. Yeah, we'll see how things go. I'm just sort of pleased today that you know, Christmas hasn't been, not wrecked, but last year, if you remember the Wolves game with the Sterling chance and, you know, left. Oh, it was just horrendous. But my thing today, we didn't lose. We didn't play the best. Be calm. You know, we could have lost. Sanchez made a couple of good saves there. We've missed a few chances. Horrendous weather conditions haven't helped. But we roll on. We roll on and we'll keep going. We're a very decent side this year. I think it's all looking very, very good.
Yeah, mate. So I think you've laid it out perfectly there. I think the fact that you've mentioned last Christmas and it just shows how far we've come. I remember doing my last minute Christmas shopping and wanting to tear my hair out after watching Raheem Sterling fail to make a pass. You know, it's you're absolutely right. I think the fact that Chelsea have come so far, Christmas has not been ruined. I think it's a massive step in the right direction.
Yeah, man, it's a ground we struggle at, you know. I was sort of thinking back earlier on, when was the last time we played really well up there? And I'm going right back to that game with Drogba and Lampard scoring belts from outside the area. I genuinely can't think the last time we went there.
Well, but I think it was when we won the league. Pedro scored a banger, didn't he?
Yeah.
March 2017 is the last time we did really well there.
Yeah, it's just one of those grounds. And it's the last time we're going to play there, isn't it? Because, you know, they got the nice new stadium, which I suppose at least they're not in the championship next year to have that. But, I'm calm. I think, you know, I look at the league table and I look down to sort of fifth, sixth place. Are they going to catch us? I don't know. You know, we get Champions League is the aim this season. A title run would be, you know, a charge would be good. You know, it'd be entertaining, but, you know, we're all calm about it. And, I gotta be honest, you know, I've been on here for a while. I can't remember the last time I've been this positive about the way we're playing. You know, the last couple of seasons have been so up and down. We've got a consistency about us now. We're a really tough side to beat. There's so much good. There's just so much good at the minute. It's a really good time to be a Blues fan again. It's all good. I'm really, really enjoying it.
It is. And it's been great having you back up here, mate. It really has been. We've missed you in these spaces, Mark. Where have you been?
I've been listening in. I think, I got to be honest, on a Sunday, I've been nipping down the pub to watch the game.
Nothing wrong with that.
So I'm paying a Sky subscription, but I've sat in the pub with my mates and I've sort of listened in with one earpiece in, and whatever. But yeah, guys, it's, you know, I wish you all it's a great space, lads, what you've created here. It's really good. It's class. I really hope you all have a really smashing Christmas and hopefully 2025 will be a blue year and we'll, you know, win something and, you know, do something good, do something really good.
That's what we like to hear. Mark, thank you for coming up, man. Enjoy the pub. We'll let you go. Go crack on, mate. Have a good time.
Cheers, right. Cheers, guys. Merry Christmas, lads.
Merry Christmas. Cheers. Thank you. What a fella Mark is. He's in the pub and he's still getting involved in the spaces. This is what we want. It is dedication. And by the way, guys, as Mark said, we are creating a community here. We are getting involved in conversations. We are having a chat without yelling at each other, which is a really nice bonus. So if you like these spaces, please make sure you tell more people about them. And when they do go live, share them. Get people involved. Come and chat yourselves. We want to hear what you guys have got to say about the games when they happen. And if you really, really enjoy it and you didn't catch the beginning of it, the shows are always available in the morning, the next day, for you to listen back to on all our podcasting platforms. So you can go listen back and even get involved in the conversation afterwards. And if you're really feeling nice in this great time of year, especially at Christmas, give us a 5-star review. It really does help the pod if you give us a 5-star review on those platforms. But I tell you what, Rambles, we're coming towards the back end of the show now, mate. We're winding down for Christmas, getting ready to have our turkeys, right? So let's have a Rambles, rave, rant, whatever it is. And then I want to have a quick discussion about Christmas dinners, if that's okay with you.
Right, I'm going to do a Rambles rave today.
Oh, please do.
And I'm going to do two players. I'm going to do Tosin and Sanchez. Both players have been...
Whoa. Hang on. Tosin and who?
Robert Sanchez.
What happened to you?
He's... Today, hopefully it will continue, but I was very impressed with his performance today. He made a couple of really good saves, and he was actually very good against Brentford. He made some brilliant saves against Brentford.
Yeah?
And I thought Tosin was outstanding. He did a couple of superb blocks today.
Yeah.
And I think now he's definitely replaced Badi Shield and De Sassi in the pecking order. I know Badi Shield started a few games ahead of him, but I think he's really cemented his place now when Fana's not here. Very impressive his performance.
I agree. It's his leadership qualities as well that have been shining through, apparently, as well. When you read about what he says, he's had a load of quotes here where he's speaking. So I believe it was Match of the Day. Let me find them for you quickly. It was not Match of the Day. It was... Oh, they've disappeared. I can't find them for you. That's a shame. Okay. All right, then. Well, I had the quotes and then they've now been taken down. So I can't actually give you what you need. But he has been talking very eloquently, and he's apparently a great leader in the dressing room, which is a massive bonus for Chelsea fans as well, to know that there are leaders in that dressing room after the last couple of years really struggling to see some. And he's a cracking player as well.
So, you know, I'm very happy with him. I think that was a good pickup, Tosin Adebayo. Free, massive centre-back. That's exactly what you want. That's all the things that Chelsea were looking for. But, guys, obviously, listen, we're going to move on to something quickly, right? It is coming up to Christmas, right? It's that time of year where we're going to have conversations that are really random because that's what we do, all right? We're not at the place where you're going to get constantly talking about half spaces and all that sort of stuff, right? We're going to move on and just have a little natter to wrap up because it is coming up to another year of the Chelsea Echo, which is insane, by the way. And all of you that have been involved in that process the whole time, we're incredibly grateful to listening to us talk a load of rubbish. But, rambles, let's talk Christmas dinners before we wrap up, shall we?
Oh, yes, I love Christmas dinner.
Okay, right. Your Christmas sort of dinner and your schedules, right? What are the non-negotiables for a Rambles Christmas?
Well, Christmas morning, we have all the family around. We have to have crisps. Sometimes a glass of champagne.
Very nice. A nice glass of champagne. Go on, continue.
And there'll be several beers drunk and there'll be several chocolates eaten over Christmas Day.
Love that. That's exactly what you want. What's on your plate on your with your Christmas dinner?
Well, this year we're actually going out for Christmas. We're going to a pub for Christmas lunch this year.
I've done that once, to be fair. I've done it once, and it's really nice because there is no washing up afterwards, which is a massive bonus. But I do like cooking Christmas dinner. That's what I do at home. And the best thing is, every single year, without fail, me and my dad argue about how to do the roast potatoes, despite the fact we do it my way every single year. I feel like he's just doing it for a show now.
And the best thing about this pub, they sell Asahi beer. I'm a big fan of Asahi.
I feel like Asahi beer is going to be the new Guinness situation. Because you know how Guinness is like currently in a shortage because everyone drinks it? Yeah. Everyone loves Asahi on tap. Like if you go to a pub and you see an Asahi on tap, that is what you have. Because it used to be like everyone's like, oh, I'll have an Amstel or, you know, I'll have a Peroni if it's on tap. Now you see an Asahi, it's curtains for any other beer.
Asahi's just a winner. Everyone loves it. It goes down so well.
Oh, it's quality. It's quality. But what is on your plate? All right. You're going out this year, but when you do your Christmas, what do you have on your plate for your dinner?
I like the roast. I like turkey, lamb, whatever meat we have, roast potatoes, Yorkshire pudding, Swede, stuffing, pigs and blankets.
Oh, you're talking my language. You're talking my language. How do you do your roasties?
I like them nice and crispy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So do you do bread sauce or do you avoid that?
I don't mind bread sauce.
Yeah, no, it's not for me really. I think we have cinnamon in ours and it always tastes a little bit weird. So it's not for me. But I mean, ours we go a little bit. We have a nice little blend. We have an Anglo-Italian Christmas when we do ours. So we do obviously our starter. I know people usually have like prawn cocktail. We do tortellini, which is unbelievable.
Lovely, Nathan.
I'm buying that fresh tomorrow with my dad. He's coming up to me, and then we're going to go to this place. We used to go to a place called Camisa's in Soho, which was like, my family been going there for like 3-4 generations just to get food, right, for Christmas Day. And in general, just Italian food. Now it's closed down, which is really sad. But there's a speciality place which I've tried before in Finchley. So this is, I'm going all around London tomorrow just to get Christmas dinner food. I'm going to Finchley to get tortellini. I'm going to Hoxton to get a special brew of coffee for Christmas Day. And then I'm going to, Clerkenwell and Soho to pick up Italian cured meat. I'm that dedicated to Christmas. It's that important.
Oh, that's going to be brilliant.
It's so good. I love it. We do like Christmas Eve. We do all the antipasti in late at night. Like we'll make our own sort of that sort of stuff. But we're doing like a rabbit stew, which is really nice this year. And doing something called tigella, which is almost, I think the best way to describe it, it's like Italian flatbreads. So have that. And it's really good. I'll send you pictures. Don't you worry about that. And then Christmas morning, we don't really do breakfast. We kind of have little bits and picket pieces. And then for the Christmas dinner, we go to town. So you have the tortellini for the starter. Then we're doing turkey, ham, duck, roast potatoes, carrot and swede. I'm adding to it this year after you've mentioned it because several people have done it. We've never really done it before. I make my own stuffing. I do Brussels sprouts tossed in pancetta and garlic and balsamic glaze, because I'm that guy. Obviously, got the carrots and all that sort of stuff, all the veg, all the trimmings. But we do like a mushroom and a cream sauce as well.
I love mushrooms.
Oh, it's so good. And the roasties, right? Goose fat, olive oil, garlic, salt, pepper, and fresh rosemary. Thank me later. That's all I'm saying with that. It is unbelievable. Then dessert, you got Christmas pudding, homemade tiramisu, Yule log if you fancy it, and then the rest of the day, you do what you want. And then Boxing Day, I just make loads of food. I just carry on making food. It's great.
You won my heart when you said Yule log and tiramisu, my two favourite desserts at Christmas time.
Oh,
all
mate.
All year round, actually.
Yeah, homemade tiramisu as well, mate. No messing about there. Do it all from scratch.
Talking.
Oh, mate. Listen, how are my single rambles? It baffles me, but it is what it is. Game's a game. Guys,
2025 is going to be your year.
Exactly, mate. It is going to be my year. I'm really disappointed. Mark's probably listening in the pub now, really, really, really hungry. So I'm really sorry about that. But I do see there are people in here. Guys, and if you don't want it to come up, that's fine. But tell you what, there is a comment section. Before we go, I want you to tell us what you have for your Christmas dinners, because I know not all of you are in the UK. I know not all of you may celebrate Christmas. I know you won't mind doing anything that day. But for your celebrations and big celebrations, what do you have? What is the go-to for the families? Rambles, any other Christmas traditions?
Well, you mentioned celebration. I was going to say, what was your favourite celebration? You know, the box of chocolates you get.
Oh, that's a great shout. Do you know what? Celebrations have gone downhill. It used to be like the Galaxy Caramel or the Maltesers, but you don't really get those anymore.
No, they're nowhere near as popular. I've really gone into Lindt recently. I'll buy a big box of Lindt chocolates.
Yeah. Oh, that's Lindt chocolate. So when I lived in Wembley, in the outlet, they had a Lindt shop, and they had like, I think it was like 50 or 60 different types of flavoured Lindts. So I'd go in on at Christmas, and I'd just literally pick up as many different ones as we could, and we'd just throw them into the car. It was absolutely spectacular. But it's that time of year, guys. It's fantastic. And I can't wait. The celebrations box. Oh, my God. All that weight I've lost this year, Rambles, I think I might all gain it in one day again, which will be a slight problem.
I've lost a huge amount of weight as well, and I know I'm going to put on a little bit over Christmas period.
Oh, mate, well, tell you what, we've worked hard this year. We deserve it, as does everybody else in here. But, guys, we will wrap it there. This has been the Chelsea Echo. This has been Final Score. Not with the score, unfortunately. He's celebrating Christmas, as he should be, and all you guys will be over the next few days. Really, really appreciate all of you listening this year. It's been fantastic to continue to do these spaces and get involved. Rambles has been a very capable co-host, having his own section. The score has been fantastic. Obviously, I've been great coming in from the ground, because that's what everybody wants. But all of you listening who have been listening all year round, we really, really appreciate your support. So please do share this with everybody. If you've missed the show, by the way, make sure you head across to our podcast on all good platforms. You can listen to it there. It'll be available tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. UK time, so you won't miss that at all. Of course, as well, you'll be getting the voice note review coming your way very, very shortly. Myself, Dan and Tom are giving you all the quick ins and outs for the game. But this has been the Chelsea Echo. That's been Rambles. I've been Louis. You lot have been absolutely amazing, and we'll see you after Christmas, because unless something drastically changes, because I'm going to carry on looking for you guys, but it's that time of year at Christmas. Unfortunately, there will be no Final Score show on Boxing Day, as I'll be covering the game, and the score is unavailable. But we will let you know as things develop. But you guys have been amazing. It's been great doing this show with you guys, and we will see you very, very soon for the next one. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you later.